This is Floss Weekly with Chris DeBona, Episode 3 for April 21st, 2006, Commander Taco.
Hi, Rob.
Chris,
how are you?
Fantastic.
Good.
Can I swear?
I would keep it to a minimum because we aren't in the... mature section.
Is there a mature section of iTunes?
Oh yeah, totally. Now, after
really?
All those like sex podcasts came out,
I didn't know that there were sex podcasts.
So we're officially started.
Giants,
just so you know, we're officially started. Everybody, this is a Floss Weekly, the third episode. Sitting here with my old friend Rob Malden, also known as Commander Taco on Slashdot, in their Dexter offices.
Sure.
Is it in Dexter?
Dexter, Michigan.
Is it traditionally Dexter, or are we like in some other township?
This is technically Dexter.
Okay, good. It's right around the corner from a garage, gas station place, and there's a pub across the street. And
so you're giving them color?
I'm trying to give them local color, yes.
So the City Hall used to be an opera house.
Really?
It's this place is the main street. Is most of the buildings are 100-odd years old.
Okay.
If internet connections are connected to each other, like with spokes and extending spokes, we're the farthest possible spoke from the center of the world, which means our internet connection goes down about once a week.
Really?
Yeah.
That kind of sucks.
We're Slashdot, and we don't have internet.
It's a good thing you don't host the servers.
No,
here.
We do not host the servers here.
Yeah. Where are they?
They are hosted in California.
Yeah. Groovy. So why does this place smell so much like beer?
Because this particular building, we're protected on all sides. There's a karate studio.
So you're literally protected on that side.
Right, we're protected in that direction. But they're little kids.
Mm-hmm.
But they're energetic.
Have you ever been kicked by a little kid?
They're energetic. They want to hurt us.
They do.
They sell carpet in this building, and then on the other side is a distillery where they make beer. So this
is
place,
the beer any good?
They're really nice guys.
Oh, they're nice guys.
Yeah, they're really nice guys.
Well, then I guess we'll leave that at that.
Actually, they are really nice guys. Some of my friends really like their beer.
It's not to your taste, though.
Well, the problem is they make different flavors of beer, and some of them I really like, and most of them I don't.
No, okay. Well, the problem with having standards is that
some things don't meet them.
So let's talk about standards.
Okay.
What
CSS?
I don't know. So you're putting a lot of so Slashdot is a venerable website on the web.
Yes.
And by venerable, I mean
honorable
up until recently had terrible HTML.
Now we're standards compliant?
Yes. Tell me about that transition. That's happened over the last, 2 years?
We did that towards the end of last summer, so
right.
it's been a while.
Are there any exciting things happening with the Slashdot interface, Rob?
Oh, this is like where you lob the ball underhanded at me, and then I slowly whack the ball out of the park, and my PR and marketing teams sit back and listen to this and go,
he didn't say poop once.
He didn't swear hardly at all. It's only 4 F-bombs per minute.
Oh, jeez.
Recently we have been working a lot on tagging and the bookmarking things, which, web 2.0-ish stuff. And right now the main thing that I'm working on is dynamic forums so that you don't have to load 37 different pages in order to read 37 different comments.
I have to say, this is something I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, it's Slashdot is very much built on 1997 web technology.
Right. Will you be modifying the moderation system so that it's also just right there in the page and they don't have to reload to submit it?
Yeah, the moderation system is going to be pretty substantially overhauled. The plan is to integrate it with the tagging system.
Right.
And to a certain extent, if you think of it on a very simplistic scale, our current moderation system is a tagging system.
You're
limited to 8 tags. So the next step is for us to expand that so that the tagging becomes open-ended. Certain tags will have meaning, which we'll define, things like insightful and troll,
right.
Which will carry on from the old system. And as users choose to use new tags, we will look at what they do, and if they use tags that we like, we will assign numeric value to them.
Will you let them know that those tags have numeric value?
We haven't exactly figured out how it's going to work yet.
Okay.
I think what's going to really happen is that we're going to kind of have a bell curve, I guess, of values. Certain tags are very clearly defined.
Right.
For example, troll, very clearly.
So that would get an extra 3 or 4 points.
Exactly. and insightful, very clearly defined. What's been interesting for me, actually, is just studying how, well, basically we have to be really careful about what terms we give real numeric value.
Right.
Over New Year's, we had people use our tagging system to tag a lot of things as gay. Right. And there are more extreme versions of the word gay, which have increasingly more negative connotations.
Mm-hmm.
And what actually makes sense, what we've realized is that you have to really look for the extreme versions of these words, because the less extreme versions of these, for example, the most extreme versions of these words are clearly users who are trying to screw with your system because they're name calling, and that's inappropriate. But other terms are so loaded, they have so many different meanings,
right,
that it's hard to assign a numeric value to that, because they could mean words as an insult, they could mean words as a positive, or as a legitimate descriptor of subject matter.
Right.
So it's interesting. I'm actually enjoying figuring these things out.
Like the word dork.
The word dork being the perfect example.
That you can say on the radio.
I can say dork. I can say anything on the radio. You could just bleep it in post-production.
Well, Leo can bleep it in post-production.
Hi, Leo.
So Rob's having a seizure right now. So when would we see, say, the dynamic comments come out?
I'm hoping to see the first versions of that start testing in the next few weeks.
That's going to be hot. I'm so looking forward to that.
Me too. I'm using it already. Yeah. So
it's funny because whenever you cover anything on Slashdot that has to do with my job, I always get all the emails. Hey, Rob did this. And I'm like, yeah, I read too, you know. But, whenever something new happens, I see it myself and I think it's great. So has there been a lot of uptake on the bookmarks? I know there has been on the tags.
Yeah, tagging is really popular. Well, people have to understand that what bookmarks is for is it's really more about giving us a basic data type to work with. My plan with bookmarks is that they're really just a piece. I need to be able to connect data across the internet, and it turns out that the URL is the way to do that. And a bookmark is a good generic way for somebody to give me that piece of data.
Okay.
A submission has a bookmark implicitly in it.
Right.
A journal entry often has a piece of bookmark or a URL in it, as does a Slashdot article. Bookmarks for me are really more about being able to get a basic data type that I can start using to string other data types together. Articles, submissions, journals, comments. So people are using bookmarks just fine, but where it's more interesting to me is I can do things like pump RSS feeds into it,
right,
and let people tag RSS feeds. And from that, I can start looking for trends, what stories are interesting, and use that as an aid for selecting stories that actually get posted to the index.
Interesting. So also
insightful, informative.
And slightly funny.
Okay.
No, okay, maybe not. So one of the things I tell people, and I actually mean it very much so when I say it, is that if you look at what Rob Malda has done the last 8 years,
this is where
it
you
presages everything.
Well, you know, I'm a trendsetter.
You are, and I think that
you know the thing how everybody wears long sleeve shirts, but then t-shirts over top of that.
Uh-huh.
Like I did that.
There's a lot of things I would
that.
Take credit for in life.
Not
and
that.
I'm not
no.
sure.
Actually,
that's
I didn't do that.
Oh, now you deny it.
I deny it. I never had anything to do with that. In fact, I feel uncomfortable trying to do that as a fashion statement.
Well, I think the one that you should really tell us about is the underpants on top of the clothes. But if you don't want to go there.
That's cool. I mean, everybody does that now. I was sticking the thong out of the top of the jeans, the low-riding jeans.
Okay, so you're telling us that you wore a thong.
Baby, I am the hotness.
I feel so privileged to be near you.
I would suggest not touching.
No, that wasn't going to be a problem. So... Slashdot launched in 96.
97.
97. Chips and dips.
We're 8.5 years old.
That's freaky.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's really freaky. Just so those of you who don't know, I worked on Slashdot for a while for Rob back in 4 years ago, something like that.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. It was a long time
ago. Like a year and a half.
It was fun, though.
It's a good gig.
It was a very good gig. It was awesome because, my daughter had just been born and I was, holding
you get to work at home.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was so cool. But that's not it's not about me. It's about you. But even then,
it's the Debona podcast.
It's the Debona podcast. Hey, look at me.
We're podcasting.
Yeah, download it. we're not drunk.
Tragically.
Well, we could be. Well, we had
the distiller is next door. I keep thinking that one day I'm going to drill a hole through the wall and have a piece of PVC pipe. They're going to come in and they're going to see the PVC pipe hanging into their still. The still's going to be half gone.
Yeah, because they wouldn't notice that before.
No. The problem is I'm pretty sure you don't want to drink beer before it's ready. And I don't really know how to know how beer is ready except to keep tasting it.
Well, you know how I know? It's in a bottle with a cap on it.
That is a good indicator.
That's a good indicator. And it's in a store.
And you have to usually pay for it.
Yeah.
That's a traditional part of beer.
Yeah, usually if you have to put a pipe through a wall to get beer, and you're not a pub,
risk.
You know? But you owned a pub for a while, so you know this.
Kind
of,
yeah.
Didn't you own like part of a pub?
Yeah, we chipped in on a bar in the Upper Peninsula.
For those of us who don't live in the Upper Peninsula, what is it?
Well, Michigan is in two halves. There's right. Some of us live below the bridge. We're called trolls. Mm. And some of us live above the bridge. They're called upers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's about maybe 10,000 of them. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but
not by much. Yeah.
Right. Basically, the southern half of the state has Detroit, which is, well, shrinking, but well populated. And the northern half of the state has upers and farms.
Right.
And it's absolutely beautiful.
And Holland is south of the bridge.
Holland is south of the bridge.
Holland is where you started out.
Yes, Holland is where we started out. I'm where Dexter is, actually. It's kind of a far, far suburb of Detroit.
Right.
We don't consider ourselves part of Detroit.
Not far from Ann Arbor.
Right. Ann Arbor is, we consider ourselves really a suburb of Ann Arbor. Ann Arbor is kind of a suburb of Detroit because nobody actually wants to say they're from Detroit, because if you're in a public place and say, where are you from? Oh, you tell them Dexter, they don't know where that is. Ann Arbor, they might know because of the university.
Right.
But if you tell them Detroit, they pity you. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Do you need a sandwich?
And
you look hungry and cold.
Bulletproof jacket.
Yeah. Do you need maybe a Glock?
Because here's some Arrow Pearson bullets for you.
It's not safe. They give you weapons when you leave the airport. You're going to need this.
Right. They tried that with me, and I was like, no, I'm going to Dexter. They're like,
well, then
it's
fine.
Cool.
That's cool. That's You're all fine. Farms.
You're all fine.
Well, that's fine. They're at the end of the internet spoke. Your internet's going to go down a lot. Do you need, like, a GSM phone?
But that'll go down, too. But not at the same time. So.
Usually, yeah. I mean, you got to play the odds.
but what I was saying before, which I still think is important, kind of, is that, you know, if you look back and you look at how long you've been doing this, you know, so a lot of people read Dig and Boing Boing and all the rest. You basically did that with Slashdot almost 8.5 years ago now.
Sure.
And if you look at Slashdot and you look at everything too, which is sort of, if you think Wikipedia with more furries.
furries.
There's some really funny things on everything too.
Absolutely.
But it's awesome. You know, it was basically in a lot of ways the first wiki software. Did you take any inspiration from any other wiki software to create everything too? Was that stuff around
wiki
then?
Wiki didn't really exist. Well, yeah. Well, everything one existed. There definitely was no wiki.
Right.
And for the first several years of wiki, it was a mess. It took a few years before wiki finally got their kinks worked out.
Right.
No, we just kind of winged it. Really,
it was more the Hitchhiker's Guide that gave you the inspiration.
Well, yeah, but mostly everything was, we liked Slashdot forums.
Yeah.
And everything was, well, the thing about Slashdot is that we're picking the stories. We're starting the discussion. And everything too, or well, originally, the Everything Project was really about letting us, letting anybody start a discussion about anything they wanted.
Right.
So, like, when we originally started it, we'd be watching TV, so we'd write a note about The Simpsons, you know, or we'd write a note about whatever we were talking about. So it could be, you know, silly short stories, you know, whatever. It was almost an art project on some levels, and less about being a factual information repository and more about being an entertaining place to share silliness.
Right. And it is quite silly.
And it has grown completely sillier and weirder over the years.
But it's still interesting.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it is, anyways. Yeah.
It's not my cup of tea anymore. It diverged from what I thought it was after a good 6 to 12 months. And that's cool, you know. It's cool to watch things on the internet have a life of their own.
So is Nate still taking care of that? Who's taking care of that? Nowadays?
Actually, Nate sort of passed it on, and then the guy who he passed it on to kind of passed it on.
Oh, so you don't even know.
Yeah, it's totally run free.
Yeah.
We've really let go of it.
Where is it hosted?
You know, I honestly don't even keep track of that.
Wow. Okay.
In fact, I don't even think I have God privileges even anymore.
Oh my gosh,
either.
You're not a god on everything anymore?
Yeah, I don't even think I have like full editor node privileges on that anymore.
I actually visited my node there for the first time in like 3 years.
Is it awesome?
Well, it still says I work at VA. You know, I mean, it's really
well, you should update
ancient.
That.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, but I mean, you know, nobody knows I'm there.
Your Wikipedia node is totally up to date though, right?
Actually, I don't even think I'm in Wikipedia. I don't think I'm important enough for that stuff.
Oh, you have a podcast.
Yeah.
Anybody who has a podcast is by definition important.
Podcasts. That's, you know.
You know, because what we
it's
thought,
like being the president. I
what we thought
plane.
Would be really good would be, you know, to make you listen at a fixed pace to people babbling about things. This is the future of communication.
Well, it's funny you should say the future because 4 years ago you did something called Geeks in Space. And the
I
only difference between
like
that.
6 years ago.
Oh my God, it was
maybe 7 years ago.
You did 38, 40 episodes of that thing. And that was the only difference between that and what we could call a podcast was that it wasn't encapsulated inside RSS.
Right. It was just posted to Slashdot.
Yeah. And so I guess it was kind of because I created an RSS feed.
Because it was an RSS
feed. So you created podcasts as well.
Well, I invented everything.
Well, you did invent
everything. No, I didn't invent that, but I invented everything else.
So, I mean, I think it's worth pointing out that, you know, when you were given...
Oh, other people were
when you had the legs,
audio.
You know. Yeah, people have always been working on audio, but I mean, you were always there.
Well, you're like, we continue to be awesome.
Yeah, you do have the awesome.
It's hard to measure the awesome, but we have lots of it.
That's good.
It's true.
Yeah.
And in fact, I wanted to use the microphone from Geeks in Space, which is sitting on the table right there. But
oh, well, why don't you switch it out?
No.
Well, which one are you putting into here? I'll turn it down. I'm going to turn you down.
No.
I'm just going to pad you out, and then you can switch it.
No.
All right.
That's silly.
Well, I mean, you know, if you want to keep things, you know.
Yeah, booming and continuity.
Right. Anyway, just making sure my laptop wasn't going on to standby.
Is asking you to log in now. Are we still recording?
No, we're still recording. It's no worries.
Because I don't want any second of this glory to be wasted.
It's beautiful. See?
It's podcasting.
No, let's just watch
it. It's the future.
Let's watch it record. No, all right, that's really boring for our readers.
Should we tell people about what we did this afternoon?
Oh, we really should, shouldn't we? So, Rob, tell me about science.
Today we had an interesting science lesson. You guys have heard of the thing probably about Mentos and Coke?
Yeah, well, everyone thinks it's Diet Coke.
Well, we decided to find out, and so we bought like $30 worth of Coke and Mentos and spent an hour... throwing Mentos into different sizes of and different flavors of Coke.
Yes, we did Coke, C2. Well, did we actually do regular Coke? We didn't
do regular Coke.
We should really try that.
We should have done. Well, we should have done Pepsi too.
Yeah, we should have. But yeah, so we did Diet Coke in 2 liter bottles and 6 ounce bottles, and
we did Coke two or Coke Black.
Yeah, that was really smelly.
I haven't tried. I got another can. I'm going to drink it when we get home.
I hope that your insides survive that. But you know, we tried.
How can it be bad?
Caffeine free Diet Coke.
Coke.
We tried Coke Zero.
But we got video.
We got video of it. We're going to upload it.
It'll be awesome. That'll be a vodcast.
A vodcast.
Yeah,
darling.
Dude, that's
let's vlog.
Yeah, we're gonna vlog it. Kill me. Kill me now.
Kill you now.
Because the only thing worse than podcasting is vodcasting, because now not only does the media control the pace at which you absorb information, but now they control both your eyes and your ears. And,
you know, they should have Pavlogs, which are like...
Pavlov's blogs.
Well, I'm trying to think of like a good word for something that grabs you and touches you while...
Like the tactile blog?
Yeah, I
think the porn industry has that.
They must. They have everything.
Well, they have like USB tools that apparently can be trolled. And now I'm choosing my language carefully because I don't know. Are they going to bleep Mildos? How's that? now nobody knows the children who happen to hear
I think that we're safe if we just sort of... leave it there. Honestly, the thing about like sex and all the rest, and the
thing about sex with the
transition from the
Mildo.
Well, you know, it's a good segue. Well, the thing about it, it's like, you know, I'm constantly surprised at just how people are
uptight.
No,
bored?
No,
boring.
Not excited. Excited is the wrong word, but
entertained. Interested?
Yes. How entertained?
Fascinated?
The internet. Fascinated and focused the internet seems to be on sex.
Well.
And how everyone seems to think it's like, wow. And so,
only like procreation is what you're genetically wired
know,
to do. And so it's totally surprising.
It strikes
that you
me with 7 billion people on the planet that sex is not that uncommon. You know?
Dude.
I mean, it's enjoyable and fantastic and wonderful and stuff. But gosh,
I wish I was having sex right now.
Well, I mean, I'm attracted to you, Rob. Don't get me wrong, but you know, we're both married.
Not my type.
Straight. And, you know? Well, I am. Yeah. But not that it mattered. So, but you're a good-looking man. You
well,
lost
you know,
weight recently, I noticed. You're
a little
doing
bit.
Well, you know. So.
A little bit. A couple less sandwiches.
Half sandwiches from Zingerman's.
A little more ice cream.
But anyways, back to the experiment. So we put all these Mentos into the different kinds of Diet Cokes.
Using the NASA arm.
Yeah, we had a special sticky arm thing that
didn't
you
work
could drop
well.
Things in. It didn't work very well.
We had to use our hands.
Well, you know.
Actually, my shoes are a little sticky, too.
Are they, really?
Yeah, I got a little bit of Pepsi on the shoes. Are
cool. Yeah, my I got to throw these shoes out anyways. They're disgusting. they're just really old and, like, frayed and stuff. I went to a shoe
store.
You're
podcasting, and you're talking about your shoes. You see the, you
this
see
so
what,
pathetic.
You see my problem
it?
About well, podcasting?
Yes. Yes, I do.
They Might Be Giants has a great podcast.
Really?
It's the only one that I subscribe to. Every week, they put out, like, 15 or 20 minutes of basically what's on Dial-A-Song.
Well, you know, so here's
and it's
the
on
thing.
iTunes, too.
Is it? Well, what we're doing here is something we shouldn't be doing. We're two guys BSing. So I was about to tell you about how I don't like shoes today. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up Slashdot.
All right.
We're going to talk about something in open source today, if I can bring up the guide.
Oh, let's not do that. I haven't read Slashdot today. I've been entertaining you all day.
You say that like it's a bad thing. I don't know why it's here. Why don't you bring it up on your screen?
What are we looking for?
Slashdot. Do you know the address for that?
I can't even begin to spell it.
Yeah. http://.
Then I can go tag people.
Yeah. Well, let's not get too admin-y.
Uh-oh. eBay's looking for allies against
here
Google.
Here we go. They should be more worried about AT&T. AT&T hates them. For Skype, man, hates them.
Well, absolutely. Because Skype
is... Yeah, they're going to come after us, and meanwhile, you know, AT&T is going to stab them in the back.
Well, I don't know. Skype is interesting, too, but their whole API is all closed off, so I don't see how that scales.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you know what I really love about Google Talk is just it uses Jabber, and we've opened all the technology up.
And you don't have a Mac client.
And I apologize for that yet again.
And I'm going to make you apologize for it over and over and over again.
Yes.
As if you are somehow Google's official apologetic.
This isn't about Google. This isn't the Google podcast.
Oh, this is about...
it's not that I'm banned from talking about anything stupid.
This is
like
about
that.
Leo?
Yes, it's all Leo's fault.
It's the Leo channel. We're Leo casting.
Okay, so what do we have here? We skip
fundamental,
that.
Constant, possibly inconsistent. That's math. I don't understand math.
Yeah.
Song posted that.
Apple dumps Portal Player chip.
Yeah, they're
I'm not surprised.
The chips, their stock dropped 42% of their value in like a day or something.
Because that's what happens when one customer is so much of your business.
Absolutely.
Dude, you said
I
you
totally
muted
that.
That doesn't sound muted.
If I pick it up, though, if I don't pick it up, though.
Here, well, I'll pause it. You want me to pause it?
You can do
okay,
that.
And pause.
Oh, I absolutely know the name of my office manager, but I don't think you do.
We're listening to him talk to a telemarketer.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I guess you probably should have kept recording
kept that.
It was a telemarketer.
Yeah, and they were saying, who is your local phone service?
When first of all, you can tell telemarketers because you get that like 3-second lag.
Oh, right, because they're doing the little
connectivity
thing.
Because it's the auto-dialer thing, and they got to connect you to India.
Right.
And then... So then they ask, you know, can I speak to the person in charge of your phone system? So my standard response is you can talk to anybody you want as long as you can give me their name. And of course, they don't have the name because it's an autodialer. And so then can I speak to your office manager? And, you know, so I say, well, yeah, if you give me the name of my office manager, you can totally talk to my office manager, even though we're the only people in this building at this point.
But you can transfer to the brewery.
I connect them to the brewery or the karate studio and they can fight the little children.
Yeah.
And she says, you don't know the name of your office manager? No, I absolutely know the name of my office manager, which is a lie. I don't really have an office manager.
Right. I mean, would that be Rob?
You know? I guess that could be Rob, the other Rob.
Yeah. Anyways, but
screwing with phone telemarketers is really like the best thing that we do here.
But it's kind of easy sport.
We had one person who we figured has called us easily
That's
over 100
funny
times.
Story though.
We started tracking her in May, in May. We tracked her from basically through December, January, February, and then she stopped finally calling in March because we have a fake name that we give out whenever people need a name.
Right.
So we give out this fake name, and somehow this telemarketer got this name, which happens occasionally.
Right.
But she had it convinced that in her mind that this person needed to do business with her company. So we would just constantly tell her that he was out of business. He was out on town. We sent him out to, he was in the hospital.
He's really sick.
On
right
Martin
now.
Luther King Day, he was out protesting. whatever.
For or against
thing,
the man.
We weren't sure which direction he was protesting. We told her that he was at the lab a lot.
Oh yeah.
And then we started giving her the fax machine number as the lab. So she would call the fax machine and then call back and then, I keep getting a fax machine, you know, and we'd apologize, and then eventually we started answering the fax machine because she would hang up and then immediately call the fax machine, so we'd answer, oh, I'm sorry, he's not here. And this lady called for 3-4 months, and she must have, the way this started is we put her on hold, and usually what we do with telemarketers is we just put them on hold and leave them on hold and we time them. And most telemarketers will only hold for like 3 or 4 minutes, but she wanted it like really bad. She held for like 10, 11 minutes.
Wow.
And it got to the point where we would like start answering and like, you know, talking to her because I mean, she wants it. And the problem is the thing that she wanted us to buy was like to basically get your name in a book. And she wanted
like one of these ridiculous who who's things.
Yeah. It was like a who's who. And
so tiring.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And so,
hey, yeah, so we'll put your name in a book that has 1,000 pages.
We
and
felt
never
bad.
Shipped.
Like we almost feel like we should buy her book, but it's like $500.
Yeah, no, it's bogus. It's bogus. It's
Well, of course it's
scam.
Bogus, but I feel like at this point, for all the hours and hours and just hours of entertainment that we got out of this, I feel almost like we owe her $500 for her book.
Or, you know, not.
Oh, okay, I'm lying.
Yeah, I think you are. I mean, come on, dude. You're not going to buy some crappy book that has just people who are afraid to tell off a telemarketer.
Except you're allowed to put whatever picture you want in the book next to your name.
You could be like a Cthulhu.
And it's a fake guy. It's a fake person. We could say anything we want. Yeah.
That has possibilities. The only problem is nobody's going to see it.
No. Well, yeah, that's true. But, I mean, they're like this guy's counterpart, like the everybody who owns the book is a fictitious person made up by somebody else and inserted
into the phone system. Or it's people who need to talk to telemarketers.
They got that kind of time.
And are willing to pay to have their number in there.
Well, apparently we got that kind of time. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, it's worth pointing out. You know,
it's entertaining, at least.
So we have J.J. Abrams to direct new Star Trek film. Do you watch Alias?
I do watch Alias.
Still?
I felt that this season has been pretty flat. Yeah. And it's been on hiatus for like 3 months now. I actually have 2 episodes on my TiVo, which recorded last night.
Okay.
And I'm going to watch them probably tonight.
I've never seen Alias.
It's solid. Most of the time it's good.
Yeah.
The overarching plots are pretty good. Obviously Lost is Abrams' bigger thing.
So what do you think about the idea of a Star Trek film based in the Starfleet Academy with younger versions of Kirk and Spock?
Starfleet 90210
sounds like it.
Yeah, I have honestly, I'll hold all judgment. You know, with every Star Trek movie that's come out, I hope it's going to be good. I want it to be good, and then it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So they're due for a good one because with the last 3 stinkers.
First Contact wasn't awful.
No, First Contact was fine, and then was that 7 or 8?
I don't remember the stuff. I guess I'm not a true geek, but yeah, no, I saw the one with the ship crashing and the Malcolm McDowell being an evil British person thing.
Is that 7?
I don't know, man. Yeah,
they blow up an Enterprise like every other Star Trek movie now. It's like a rule. It's like a contractual thing. They have to blow up the Enterprise because we need a dramatic climax.
Right.
So maybe in this one, since there won't actually be an Enterprise, then they won't have to blow anything up.
Well, maybe they'll blow up a training Enterprise.
They blow up a simulator on a holodeck.
Oh, shocker.
Oh, wait.
No, there's no holodeck. Thank God.
So they really, how can they screw up without having a holodeck to wreck them?
You know what killed me? So I'm only going to say, like, I don't want to get too far into Dorkville here, but
I live here. It's nice.
So in Voyager, there was a scene, which is the worst of all Treks, right? Well, yeah, that's
it's pretty bad. Enterprise is pretty bad, too.
Oh, man, it's awful. It's appallingly bad.
I've been watching The Next Generation again and liking it.
Well, you know, Picard's brilliant. Did you see him on Extras?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Picard, Star Trek?
Yeah.
Have you seen it? It was awesome.
And then I see this woman, and all right, well, we'll leave this there. Go watch Extras.
You know, he has a podcast as well.
What?
The iTunes, Ricky Gervais.
Why are you listening to this podcast?
Because people sent... Dude,
No. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to... Reader, just leave. Go. I'll just shut it off now. I mean,
we're talking
on.
About other people's podcasts?
Yeah.
Why not? We're podcasting.
Oh, God, no. When that's a podcasting thing.
When
no.
in Rome, yeah, it's podcasting is meta. It's all about navel-gazing and your own awesomeness.
I hate that. So, anyway. So, Voyager.
Self-loathing is awesome.
So Voyager, there was a scene where, you know, the ship was about to blow up or whatever, and they were cutting power to, well...
They got
to
cut conduits.
They're cutting power to save power for something, and there's 3 power systems on the ship. There's propulsion, there's life support, and the holodeck.
Right.
How in the hell does a holodeck get its own power subsystem?
Dude, Jordy needs to be entertained.
Well, I guess so, but I mean, considering how many times that holodeck has basically tried to kill everybody on the ship,
it seems like they should have an entire... Well,
it seems like everyone should have like a little switch that can shut off the holodeck at will, you know? They should just jettison the holodeck.
They shouldn't have the holodeck, but then what do you do in a spaceship?
I don't know. It seemed to be okay for Kirk.
That's true. He just went.
He had no holodeck.
He made sweet, sweet love to the ladies,
alien chicks.
Yeah. The alien chicks who come complete with their own mildos.
If you heard a beep, that was something he said earlier that also was beeped. So Apple pushes to unmask product leaker. So this Apple's going to get in trouble over this. This is not good for Apple.
Well, this is
the way they pursue these websites and blogs to punish them, and the way they. I just think this is really bad for them. I think it's stupid.
But it's what they've always done.
I know, but it's...
And it hasn't...
It's the hating your customer thing.
Well, it hasn't bitten them in the ass so far, which is, you know...
Well, I guess that's true. People keep buying their stuff, so...
Absolutely. You know. And the thing is that they have this mystique about them. And part of this mystique about them is the fact that nobody has a mystique about the big Microsoft secret.
No. God, no.
And the reason that nobody has that is because, honestly, nobody cares. But the fact that people do care, they're basically feeding the cycle. You throw out a couple of fake lawsuits, throw some idle lawyer threats out, and you create that mystique. Now, the question is, how far are they willing to carry it?
Yeah.
And in some cases...
Pretty darn far.
They've carried it pretty darn far. And where they're carrying it, obviously, is pretty... clear violations of freedom of speech if they ever have freedom of the court cases,
you know. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, it's one thing to crack down on your own people for leaking things, but
which
I mean,
is a different issue,
which and is a different contractual
you
employment
totally
issue.
Should totally be allowed to fire people for that stuff.
Oh, well, you can. I mean, and, you know, that's a classic cause for firing folks.
But they're going after the press. They're going after journalists.
Yeah,
bloggers,
that's just screwed
and that's
up.
Not right.
That's just screwed up.
But you know, they do what they do,
and people keep on buying their iPods. So there you go.
Well, you know, they sold, what, 1 million of those things?
I'm looking at a video iPod right now, right in front of us here.
Yep.
How else do you podcast?
Not to mention a MacBook, an iSight.
And a fabulous 24-inch display. Is that what that is? Or 30?
23, I guess.
That's not a 30.
I know.
30s are gorgeous. See, here's the problem, right?
We're just talking about our gadgetry.
We're just talking about gadgetry.
Well,
and
I like gadgetry, and frankly, I've built my life on gadgetry.
Well, I mean, so I mean, this is why Apple gets away with it, because people keep buying their stuff. They keep making beautiful machines. And...
Well, and that's the thing, is that as long as you continue to produce quality, people are willing to throw a blind eye.
Yep, exactly. So scroll down. Let's see what else you got here.
Amazon.com's
bodyguard. I think there is even a podcast where a guy just reads Slashdot.
There is.
And it's very popular, I understand.
Yeah, and it's awful.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's awful.
Oh, now you just broke his heart, Rob.
No, he... Like,
he's going to listen to this.
I emailed him and asked him not to use our name. You know, if he's going to read content, whatever, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to get all up in arms about that, but I wish he didn't use my name.
Yeah, there's a couple like that, though.
I get emails now from people who think he's me.
Oh, no.
He's like one of those old school radio type voices.
Hey, how you doing there, buddy?
And, you know, I'm sure that philosophically what he thinks he's doing is really great, but I don't like getting tech support email for what he's doing.
Right.
I don't got that kind of time.
Well, yeah. So there you go. So what happened yesterday on Slash? No, I'm kidding. All right.
Don't do that to me. I don't even remember yesterday. I barely remember this morning.
So when I was at Slashdot and after I left it, I noticed that there was this thing in my head where basically the reloading, the event-driven nature of Slashdot really made it hard to focus. So when you go home, do you have trouble focusing on things?
Yeah, I can't focus. I have no attention span anymore.
Really? Yeah, because it took a while for me to get past it. I can't. I'm not lying to you, man.
It's a real struggle. Well,
this job breaks you.
We work. Well, you figure we're posting one story out of every 25 to 50 submissions that we're getting.
How many get nowadays? Do you mind saying?
Well, hundreds and hundreds.
Right. Okay.
But actually, we're posting a little bit higher percentage now than we used to.
We have a lot more sections now.
We've been trying to up the amount of total content that we post. But the net result of this is if I've posted 10,000 stories, and I have, I've posted like 11,000 stories, I think, right. Then that means that I've probably rejected on the order of a quarter of a million submissions.
Right.
Now,
it's over 8 years.
That's a lot of reading one little paragraph blurbs, usually badly written, reading quick little articles as fast as you can because you got to get to the next one.
Right.
It screws with your mind. I barely remember my name anymore.
Yeah.
And people always ask me, well, let's talk about the big story on Slashdot yesterday. And it's really hard for me because I looked at 50 story submissions. I'm not even exactly sure which ones I picked at the end of some days because I looked at 50 and I picked five.
Right.
You know, so, you know,
or Zonk picked five or, you know,
Somebody else picked five. And we all read each other's stuff. But what happens for me is that I'll read a story. Like, say I have the morning shift.
Right.
I'll read 200 submissions. I'll pick five, and I'll leave a dozen of them behind for the afternoon guy.
Right.
And then the afternoon guy might pick three or four of the ones that I left, because usually the ones that we're leaving are ones that we think have a shot at being good if we needed something later in the day and there's nothing exciting happening. So then did he post it? Did I post it? Did I reject that? And then somebody else posted. It got submitted again.
Right.
And it really screws with your mind. And people complain about the dupes on Slashdot, and that's flat out the problem. It's a human problem. It's that I read so much stuff that I don't remember which things I post half the time anymore. It's a scary problem.
Yeah, for sure.
All my neurons are broken. I'm
complaining. Well, it'd be interesting to do like a CAT scan.
Like, or see like what part of my brain is overdeveloped now.
Yeah, see if like there's something different with your brain when you get that. So
like the monks that they do CAT scans while you're meditating.
Right.
And, they get like weird gamma radiation or something.
Yeah, we could probably work that out.
Like, you got...
I know a guy.
You know a guy who knows a guy who's got a...
Yeah, an MRI.
Actually,
you know the guy who knows the guy.
Oh, cool.
Pat McGovern.
Oh, McGovern's got access to MRI
machines? No, his dad funded this big brain research center at MIT, and they've got like this beautiful MRI there.
I don't want to really scan my brain, but I would like to put weird things through MRI machines.
Like a cat?
Cats.
That's been done.
Sure, cats, dogs,
they have one
pets,
there that can
sandwiches.
Do bugs.
a nice Reuben, maybe?
I don't think that's going to be very exciting for an MRI.
I don't think an MRI really cares. MRIs are kind of...
Are you saying the MRIs are unfeeling machines that are just bent on human destruction?
What do you mean, Captain? Let us talk more about emotions. I hope one day to feel these emotions.
Oh, Christ. I think... So you're not going to get me all pissed off about
data episodes?
Again. Oh, I hated them. The only thing I hated more... You know, so basically, I went through a while there on TV where I was sort of trying to catch up with shows that I didn't really watch all of, but I kind of liked, like The Next Generation and the rest.
Sure.
So when I got the TiVo, I said, okay, put a season's pass on The Next Generation. And it got to the point where I was just not watching the ones that said time travel or
holodeck or data
or holodeck or data. Yep. Couldn't stand it. The idea of watching another holodeck episode that had some like Sherlock Holmes tie-in,
dude, I,
was, like,
I just saw that one like a week
painful
ago.
Painful to me.
It, Data in Sherlock Holmes holodeck
garb. Yeah.
It's, oh my god. The only thing would be worse is time travel, and since they're pretending like a fictitious,
and then they bring the Borg
century,
in. Not
yeah.
that I minded the Borg, but they see, overused like the them. They yeah, totally
Borg,
overused them though.
Yeah, but the Borg was like every other episode by the time
I know,
you get done with Voyager.
Oh, Voyager and Borg just pissed me off.
It's like you swear the Borg is chasing Voyager back to the Federation. It was insanely lame.
Yeah, it was really lame. They took a very good enemy and made it into nothing.
Yeah, well, that's so. The thing is that
let's talk about a good show. Let's talk about Battlestar Galactica.
I do like the battle. I like how they ended the last season.
Yeah, that was pretty nervy when when they said 1 year later.
Yeah, I was like, are you kidding?
I was like, this has got to be a dream sequence.
Maybe this
or something.
A flash forward or something.
I couldn't believe it. You could have knocked me over with a flipping feather.
Well, man. You know, props to those guys for mixing it up.
They really
they
know
stones.
How to do it.
They absolutely got stones, and I bet working on that show is going to just be a nonstop rush.
It's got to be awesome. It's awesome watching it, so.
Totally addicted.
So what about Stargate? Do you think it's sort of on a lull,
so
heading down,
here's my problem
up?
With Stargate is that a good episode of Stargate is still good.
Yes, I agree.
The problem is that a good episode of Stargate is fewer and fewer and farther between.
I have to agree.
Atlantis maybe had like two episodes last season that I was entertained by.
Which ones were your favorites?
I'm trying to... you know, my favorite Stargate that I from last season actually was the one where... it wasn't Atlantis, it was the Stargate, but they convict the guy of like brain murder because he had the thoughts implanted in his brain.
Right.
I really liked that episode.
I thought
that was a fun episode. Well, because that's originally what the show was.
Yeah.
Is it wasn't about these grandiose intergalactic politickings.
Right.
It was about an interesting science fiction concept, and let's play with it.
Right.
Which is, you know, you go back to like a Twilight Zone or something, which
Or the old Outer Limits was great at this.
Yeah, I've put both of those, I've season passed both of those recently just to start rewatching those and just see, oh yeah, you know, every episode of Star Trek and every episode of every modern science fiction show, pretty much covered already there. Don't really need to watch TV anymore. Kind of depressing.
Yeah, you have a nice TV.
Okay, thank you.
We were over at his place today. Anyway, trying to think of anything else.
It's a Sanyo. It's a projector.
It's a projected baby. Your wife made that nice border around the.
She didn't make that one.
The border?
No, she didn't make that one.
Who made it?
A company, Firebird, I guess. They make screens.
Oh no, not the screen itself, but the velvety thing on the outside.
We bought that.
Oh, you bought that?
Yeah, it's a frame.
I thought you made it.
We have another one that we made that we had for about a year and a half.
Oh,
this is really interesting to the podcast audience.
Well, no, it's not.
I know.
Okay. Well, so
you see my issue with podcast.
No, I have the same issue. I want them to be interesting and valuable for the reader,
which
listener.
Is why, you know, this goes back to my fundamental issues with how people are using the internet right now.
Right.
Which actually is somewhat on topic for these sorts of things.
I think so.
I think that when you look at something like a Slashdot or even a CNN.com, you are reading that at your own pace.
Right.
And that's the beauty of it. Now, the problem with that is that your eyeballs are tied to it. You can't drive.
Right.
Now, podcasting is only good because people drive. And you're not supposed to supposed to talk on your cell phone while I know you're in California, but in a lot of places they're making that.
Oh,
illegal
Rob,
right now.
You're so funny.
Well, I don't talk on phones. I don't believe in telephones.
Oh, okay.
Except if it's telemarketers that I'm calling to, you know, put them on hold and time them.
Only when it's connected to the torture do you like the telephone.
Right, and that's really more about torturing the help.
Right,
which I enjoy.
Gosh.
So anyway, these websites. They're using your eyes, your reading, are having a fixed stream of information flowing into your brain at the rate that you choose.
And it's very information dense, which I really like.
So when you look at TV, you're using your eyes, but they are controlling the pace.
True.
They can put, in theory, even more information into you because you watch a CNN, you got three different crawlers going, which is awful. But
that's terrible.
You can have people talking, but TV can do things really that video can't, or that the internet can't, because you can actually show visual things. Now, most vodcast or people talking, what they're really showing you is a person talking.
Right.
And the human face is really good at expressing emotion, but when you're trying to get information, rarely do you care about emotion unless you're watching Fox News, in which case it's all about emotion and not about any sort of information whatsoever.
But why do you hate America, Rob? Go on. Yeah.
Well, it's just my issue so much right now with podcasting is basically we're sitting somewhere in the middle. And the only purpose to it is when you don't have your eyes or when your eyes are preempted with something else.
Right.
Now, you look at it, to take a vodcast, which in most cases you're looking at a computer screen to watch it because very few people are watching these things on their TV.
Yeah.
You're rate limiting yourself to the broadcast speeds, but you're shrinking the actual amount of information that you can actually get in, because in most cases it's just a dude talking.
Right.
So you're not actually getting more information for your time.
Yep.
Now, I guess what it comes down to is I want more. More, not faster.
Okay. Well, I mean, this is usually why I prefer reading to things like podcasts. So we're having a podcast talking about podcasts again, which is...
It got very meta.
Which is what it does.
But see, when you're talking to me, that's okay, because my job is to...
Well, you could create the internet, right?
Yeah.
Salt, pepper.
Me and Vint the other day, you know, we're talking...
You and Vint.
I call him V.
V, for short. I'll let him know that.
You can pass that along.
He is such a nice man.
I'm sure, but he's like three cubes down from you.
No. Vince, global man. It's like, you know, you could talk to him, and one day he'll be in Seattle. One day he'll be in. I think he's omnipresent.
He really? Well, I guess.
Yeah, and he kind of looks kind of Jesus-ish.
Yeah, he does. If you invent the internet, I guess you get to transcend. Like every packet's got some like
a little
some
bit of
him in it. It's all really Ghost in the Shellish.
Yeah, I think so. Or totally. Or Rain. Is it? What was the other anime where the gal comes back through the radio or? Or through email or something.
Oh, Lane.
Lane.
Yes. Rain.
I know nothing about anime.
But Lane is good.
Yeah?
You should watch it.
I've heard it's good, but...
It's standard fare.
My problem is that the conventions of anime are almost utterly lost on me. Mm. Like Dragon Ball Z, can't watch it.
Yeah, but Dragon Ball Z is basically professional wrestling.
Oh.
And so, like, people who are into professional wrestling can probably find more in Dragon Ball Z, because really more, it's about taunting, and then silly combat, taunt, silly combat, taunt, silly combat, repeat.
Right.
You know, and it is what it is. Now, that said, there's like 300 episodes of Dragon Ball Z, and I think I've seen them all.
I've heard that's absurd how much there is.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen, like, all the spin-offs.
Dragon Ball Y?
Dragon Ball GT, and I haven't seen most of them. Those other spin-off shows, although most of them aren't particularly long. There's not that many episodes. They didn't last for very long. But the original show, when Cartoon Network actually aired them, you could basically watch an episode in, like, 12 minutes.
Wow.
Well, because the first part of it was, last week on Dragon Ball Z, and then they'd cut to, and then next week on Dragon Ball Z. So you cut that part off of each end, the intro song, and then a little bit of flashback recap, you know, and you're watching the whole episode in like 12 minutes, so you can watch an entire week of Dragon Ball Z, you know, in the same amount of time as you're watching any one-hour drama. And at that point, you're getting about the same amount of entertainment.
So this is actually, since I want people to learn and enjoy this podcast, here's another cool thing you can do with TiVo. If you fast forward just to the first fast forward thing on TiVo, it preserves the closed captioning. I don't know if you knew
that.
And so you can hit your closed caption button on your TV. If you have a TiVo, not like the spinoffs. Most of the spinoffs don't handle closed captioning well at all. Like the Comcast one, not at all.
You want the real TiVo.
You really do. And but if you're on the first one, you can watch the closed captions like fly by.
Yep.
And it's almost like reading, but then you're actually not even watching the show. You're reading the show. Right?
At some point, that it becomes a comic book.
It does. It does. And it's like, it was a great way to get through some Law and Orders, because they get kind of preachy at times and speechy. And so you're like, speechy. It's actually how I got through season 5 of Babylon 5.
I can't imagine watching season... Actually, I've never seen season 5 of Babylon 5.
Well, there's the last two episodes are okay, but everything in between is like, you know, shoving, you know, nails under your something.
Yeah, I've only made it through seasons 1.5. And
you know, it actually really starts spinning
and
like
that's what
crazy
everybody tells
third
me.
And fourth.
That's what everybody tells me, and then I go
it's
play
worth
Warcraft.
Your time. And then you go play Warcraft. I saw you playing Warcraft today.
I basically have quit. Now all I do is check my auctions. And,
really?
Yeah, I basically...
It's all an economic simulation for
you
now?
It's basically an economic simulator, and I'm trying to make some cash.
So what's the next game for you?
I got Oblivion right now. I've been playing that.
Yeah, my office mate's been playing that. It's like, it's a religion.
Yeah, it's...
I understand it's quite beautiful.
It's aesthetically amazing.
I'll check it out.
I've got it connected to the high def TV at home, so it's...
The one downstairs or upstairs?
Upstairs right now. It's, okay. It's
so you will show me.
Sure enough.
Okay.
No, it looks like a really cool game. I only made it through the practice level or whatever, the training levels. But the problem for me is that I don't have that good of eyes.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I think that
right.
Because I'm looking at it at high def, the text is...
Are you
a little
somewhat
smaller.
Colorblind?
I'm not colorblind. No. I just don't have good clarity.
I see.
You totally made me lose my train of thought. I think that the size of text and stuff is a little bit wrong for high def.
Okay.
For my eyes, I haven't figured out how to. Maybe there's a font adjustment thing.
Hmm.
You know, I just need it to be a couple points bigger. Because I don't have to eye strain.
Why don't you play it downstairs on the big TV?
I could.
You could do that. Just saying.
I played the big TV as a projector, and I played all of Final Fantasy 10 and 11 on
really?
It. Yeah, and the thing is that becomes kind of isolating.
I bet.
You know, sitting in a completely darkened room with a projector whirring above your head, you know, Dun, 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 dun. What's the, how does the song go? Dun, 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 dun. The Final Fantasy "You Just right. Won a Battle" song, you know, hearing that 1,000 times because that's all you do in that game is run around, do the same thing over and over again. Oh.
Did you see the video from the next one?
The movie?
Yeah.
Looks good.
It's frightening how good that looks.
Final Fantasy.
What's it called?
13 or 12? What? Not the MMO.
No, not the MMO.
The one that's coming out next is supposed to come out this summer.
Yeah. Remarkable animation on it, though.
Well, come on. It's Final Fantasy jerk chicks.
Do I have it here? Maybe. Not very fun for our...
We can watch things and tell you about them, because really that's, again, the best use of the podcasting medium is to describe videos. But now, that said, I've seen podcasts where they embed...
No, it's the Crytek video.
They embed video into the MP3, into the ID3 tags, I'm assuming.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm not going to do that to my...
Yeah, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how that works.
And actually, they're less popular because they take forever to download.
I can't fathom that including a 32K or 34K JPEG...
A JPEG would be fine.
Yeah, you're not embedding a video into that.
No, I thought you were talking about embedding video.
No, but you'll see in like the, every 5 minutes or something an updated picture. Right. I think that's kind of neat.
Sure.
It's a reasonable compromise.
But then, you know, drivers.
iTunes does it correctly.
No, I mean driving.
Oh, you know, driving.
Podcasting.
Yeah,
driving.
My commute is like 3.5 minutes.
So this will take 10 commutes? No, 15 commutes. Boy, we've been going
I don't...
So we should probably wrap this up. Is there anything you'd like to cover, Rob Mueller?
That's like, again, the underhanded softball reporter lob.
Well, you know my background. Come on, man.
Underhanded PR. Marketing.
A little bit, yes. But, you know...
But then it's about...
That's what Larry wanted me to do.
Then you should push
your
agenda.
I was a coder.
Agenda. You should push your agenda.
I don't have an agenda with you.
Well, neither do I.
Well, then I think it's time to wrap this up.
Right on.
Okay. Well, Rob, thank you so much for being on my little podcast. We'll do this again sometime.
Anytime. All it takes is an airplane ticket for you to fly out to Dexter.
Or you to fly out to California. You're out there often enough.
I haven't been to California in like a year.
And you're coming out in 2 weeks, which we're not going to do this again in 2 weeks. That'd be ridiculous.
No way. Because then it would be like I was a podcast.
Look at Jeff. And Jeff can talk more of the highfalutin ideas stuff. He likes that stuff.
Yeah, he's like philosophical and stuff, and I'm pretty much ghetto.
Yeah, you're ghetto. Covered in mud. And
I just want little tiny computers with bright shiny screens that I can play with, that show me little toys.
All right, so we're going to go back to playing with our toys then. And thank you for listening. Goodbye.